Hi, today's February 10th, 2019. This is Mobile Views Podcast 287. I'm Todd Agassi-Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And, what's the theme? I guess free as in freedom, not as in beer, to paraphrase Richard Stallman. But we'll start
and
with some free stuff.
Even when it's not free, even when it's not, there's no freedom.
That'll be our rant.
Yeah.
First thing is something free. So Google has released a Google Chrome password checkup extension for its browser about a week or so ago. So if you head over to the Chrome Web Store, you can find a Google-created extension called Password Checkup. Okay, Google, stop. Sorry. My smart display decided I was talking to it. Anyway, the Chrome Password Checkup extension. And what it does is when you're on a website, it checks to see if the password you just typed in for it, I think, it may have been compromised at that site. So it seems like a, you know, pretty good idea. And it's free. free as in beer. okay. Next item is also free, and also as in beer, but with a catch. And so Fitbit just released a new fitness band called the Inspire. But the thing is, you can't buy it. You can only get it through your company, you know, kind of a wellness plan, or through your insurance company, sort of a Big Brother plan.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would put it. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think my insurance company knows enough about me based on the random things that I seek treatment for.
Right.
I don't know if they really need to know the things that I might not have need of treatment for yet.
Yeah. So it's very Big Brother-ish, and I, you know, on one hand, if you are willing to do it to get a free fitness band, and you understand what you are giving to either your company or to your insurance company, and by your company I mean the company you work for, that information, I'm not sure how I feel about it either. You know, it seems like a good idea for some reasons, and like a really bad idea for other reasons. Especially if your insurance company decides to raise your rates because you don't walk enough or something.
Yeah, you'll be walking yourself to the insurance company to ask about that yeah. decision of theirs.
Yeah.
I think furthering on the theme of today, nothing is free. So
yeah,
if you're getting it for free, they're getting something out of it that's justifying the money they paid for
right.
to give to you.
Right. So. And I think the next one is yours, John, also on the
nothing is free. Mozilla will be adding, looks like in the next couple of weeks, crypto mining and fingerprint blocking to Firefox. Huh. So if you go to any websites that are using your processor cycles to crypto mine or are using some sort of what we used to call super cookies where, you know, kind of tracks you around based on a unique fingerprint.
Right.
Those will be blocked by Firefox directly. So, the crypto mining is the one that I've heard more and more about over the last couple of years, although it's died off a little bit ever since the, you know, Bitcoin prices came down after their big surge in late 17. So,
yeah.
It's one of those things to just be aware of, and I actually am a fan of Firefox. I use
Me
Firefox,
too.
Not Chrome. So for all the
oh, really?
People out there that, yeah, I don't
I
use Chrome on
that.
Any of my devices.
Wow, I didn't know
I have it installed on one or two of them just in case I need
right,
it, but
right.
generally I don't even keep it installed if I don't have to because it's such a resource hog. So I'm a big fan of Firefox. I think my two browsers I use all the time are Firefox and Safari.
Oh, so that's why you weren't excited about that password checkup extension for Chrome. That I
No, I don't have any exciting Chrome extensions to talk about. Although there are some pretty nice extensions for Firefox.
That is true. That is true. I mean, I know I found a couple I can't remember now, but a couple cookie blockers and things like that work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those days when you really don't want Amazon to know everything you're looking at on Amazon because you really don't want to see it on Facebook. Like, do I really want to see, I don't know, you know, especially when my daughter was little. and I used to order, you know, kids' albums and books. Do I really need to see all that on Facebook again? But in any case. So is that coming, like, real soon? Like, in the next update cycle? Or
well, Firefox and Mozilla, they do, you know, regular rollouts of updates. Yeah. And so there's no firm commitment on it, but the sources are basically seeing it show up in the beta channels and developer channels, and so the idea is that it will be out pretty soon for the general release of Firefox.
When did you go all Firefox? I didn't know this about you.
Oh, it's probably been. You remember when you found out that Chrome was using up a huge amount of memory on your MacBook?
Yes.
Years ago. Yes. It was somewhere around that time, either right around then or right before, right after that, I ditched Chrome and went solely Firefox.
That's interesting.
And Safari. Yeah, and if I'm on a Mac, it's Safari. If I'm on Windows, it's Firefox.
Yeah. It has become better, it being Chrome, has become better about its resource hogginess. But yeah, I do remember that. In fact, there are back then I made the decision that older devices, like for example, my 2010 MacBook Air was simply resource deficient to run Chrome, and so I started running Safari and Firefox on it. Mm-hmm. And I think some old netbooks I had too got Chrome removed because it was just too, it just required too many resources, and it was, you know, using up all available RAM. So
well, and just recently, so every so often, as I think maybe I should give Chrome another shot.
Yeah.
Something happens to remind me not to. And just recently, my wife was having issues, and she uses Chrome. Mm-hmm. And on her Windows 10 laptop, it just had ballooned into a crazy amount of RAM and then was gumming up disk activity for some reason.
Yeah.
But I went through and I forget what exactly I had to do, but it was Chrome that had just gotten a memory leak that was making it unusable. And of course, since Chrome has some persistence to it, if you have the memory leak and then you shut down the computer and restart it, and it tries to reopen all of the things that it had going on the first time,
right,
and it causes the memory leak again, then you're just sort of back to square one. So you have to close out everything or reset the plugins and all that kind of crazy stuff just to get it to not leak so much.
Yeah. You know, one thing I did, and this is kind of ironic since I just recommended a Chrome extension, is right after that memory issue that drove me bonky several years ago with Chrome, I started going on an extension and add-in diet, and I actually cut out a bunch of extensions. So do I really? It was kind of like a KonMari, you know, joy of tidiness thing. And I looked at each extension, and I said, "Does this bring me joy?" And if it didn't, I deleted it from Chrome, and that seemed to help a lot. So. Joy of tidiness in your browser.
Joy of browser tidiness.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, next one is not free, but it's cheap.
Yeah, so this is something I've been doing for a little while, and I thought, you know, I should probably write this up because people would probably be interested in it. It's not hidden knowledge. It's just something that people might not realize. But if you are like me and you still like to have actual copies of your music files, not everything in the cloud. I still have cloud music services that I use. I just don't want everything there. There's a very easy way to get all the music you ever wanted legally for $29 or around that much. What I basically have, and we'll put a link to my blog post, but there's software that can download YouTube videos, one of which is something I've used for a few years now. That's Wondershare All My Tube is the name of the product, is All My Tube. The software company is Wondershare.
Mm-hmm.
And for $29, one-time fee, you get their software, which lets you download videos from YouTube. Of course, you can also just choose to download the MP3, the audio from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And if you search pretty much any song on the planet, it's on YouTube, and not,
that's,
you know,
true,
live versions and not bootleg versions, like the actual version, because it's the same platform that Google uses for Google Music. So you can grab the exact music file off of it. So you download that, and of course, then your one little problem is that you have just an MP3 file without any metadata. So if you go to drop it in iTunes or anything else, it's kind of ugly. It doesn't have cover art or any of that. But then there is this open source piece of software called MusicBrainz Picard. Picard is the software title, and Music Brains is the open source library that it uses. And it will actually do an acoustic scan of your song. It'll figure out what the album was and download all the metadata, and you can hit save, and it'll write it right to the file. So you've got then a clean, pretty little MP3 file that you can put in whatever musical archive you would like. So
yeah,
that is my little tech trip tip of the week that might help people as they think, well, gee, maybe I want to keep some things just in case I ever move off of my streaming music system.
Right. So I have a question. Years ago, YouTube used to change their, I don't know what it is, their streaming technology every now and then to prevent people from downloading videos. Has that changed, or does that app you use, that software you use, basically work around it every time it changes?
I assume there might be some working around that it has to do, although every time I get an update for that app, it usually is just bug fixes and stability. It's not, I've never tried to download something on the app and it not work from YouTube.
Yeah.
Unless it's a paid content from YouTube, in which case it won't grab it. But if it's free content, and I assume that once YouTube switched over to HTML5, everything got a little bit easier to try to grab versus harder. But yeah, I've been quite happy with this piece of software. I've used it probably 2 or 3 years now. It was recommended to me from another tech blogger friend, and I thought, okay, I'll try it out. And it's been pretty useful. I also use it with YouTube videos that you suspect either will go away at some point.
Right.
So a video that you go, I'm sure there's going to be a copyright claim on this at some point. Or, and I use those especially in class because, you know, a full version of a Nova documentary or something like that might not stay up that long. I might want to use it in class in a couple of weeks, and it would be really annoying if it wasn't there. And also, if you have shaky internet connections in your classroom, trying to stream from YouTube can be a real pain.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be another reason why you would want to download the video locally and put it on a USB drive so that you have the video right then and there.
All right. And next up is something that is kind of free, became freer, as in beer, and now it's going to become less free beer. So Flickr, which used to be the only game in town to store, well, that's not really true, but the most popular game in town to store photos online, is essentially going away. I mean, it's not going to shut down, but, you know, for folks who took advantage of their, I think, 1 terabyte of free storage that opened up a few years ago, we may have even talked about it on this podcast, that limit is going down and you can only store up to 1,000 photos for free, which is a lot. You know, but many people like me have a lot and a lot more. And their original photo deletion date was February 5th, so a few days ago. But it's now been extended to March 12th. And then that after that point, you will only be able to store 1,000 photos. I'm not quite sure how they're going to decide which photos to delete if you're over that 1,000 photo limit. So what I'm doing is when it first became available, I think I turned on the auto-upload function from my iPhone to Flickr. And so as a result, I've got an album called Auto-Upload or something like that with 2,283 photos. And I've been trying to delete it, and it is hard because Flickr keeps essentially erroring out. So, or just stopping. So, in fact, I just stopped again. Do you really want to delete? Are you really, really sure you want to delete these 654 items? And the batch is canceled, so it's errored out completely. I can't delete anything at the moment. So what I'm doing now is I am refreshing it. I am going to select that album again, which is called Auto Upload. Now I have to select. It's a really manually intensive process. I have to select everything, drag it into the batch editor, go to Edit Photos, click Delete. And now, out of the 2,283, all but 648 were deleted in several passes. I've had to do this about 5 times so far, I think. And now I'm going to delete.
It's because they want the joy of deleting your files. They don't want you to have that joy.
So this is another joy of tidiness, except with photos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And boy, I should get the kickback from Marie Kondo. Which, by the way, everybody pronounces wrong in America. They say Kondo. Or, well, anyway, it's not that. It's Kondo. So it's deleted 40 of 640. I'm sure this is really thrilling for everybody to listen to, me counting off my photos deleted. But I've been working on this since before we started this podcast, what is it, about 16 minutes ago? So it's unbelievably slow and unbelievably unstable. You know, we could get a lot of XML errors on my display, and they're just not, I don't know, Flickr just is not up to date in their technology. They just don't have a stable platform. Which is probably, and they probably don't have enough storage now. Now, did Yahoo or Oath or whatever they're called now sell Flickr? Is it now owned by somebody else?
No, I think it's still owned by them. It's okay. Just they don't want anyone using it apparently anymore.
Yeah. But at any rate, I think I can get down to under 1,000 photos after I delete this auto-upload thing that I'm just saying, who owns this thing?
The thing that I will be annoyed about is all of the, Flickr for years has been a great source of Creative Commons open licensed photos.
Yeah.
And I assume a lot of those options are going away because people won't be able to store as many photos anymore.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just checked. So in April of 2018, so almost a year ago, Flickr was sold to SmugMug. Yeah. Which I know a lot of people like. I've never used it myself, I think. But I know a lot of serious photographers are using it for many years. Have you ever used it, John? SmugMug?
I have not, but I do know that Flickr is still using Yahoo login APIs at least. So
yeah.
You don't at least have to... At least they didn't unmerge accounts if they had ever been merged.
Yeah,
so
I'm thankful for that. Well, it's... It's as we speak, it has now deleted 240 of the 648 I selected while we were talking about this exciting photo deletion process. And I should note, I'm deleting because this is all backed up to Google Photos, and I've got it on a couple of hard drives. So I've got versions of these photos. They're not like something only on Flickr.
They're not going.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, we were talking a little bit before the podcast about the... nothing is free.
Yep.
And I have now had two backup services, cloud mm-hmm. backup services, that I bought into and paid a good amount of money for that I had to find solutions for because both of them went away. Mosey and CrashPlan were the two companies that basically oversold too much of a good thing, much like Flickr went into as well. You give someone a terabyte of storage and people will use it up.
Yep.
CrashPlan, I was using something like 4.5 terabytes of data. That was, I'm sure, not being covered by the $100 or so a year I was paying for the service. So it's one of those things where if you don't have solutions that are like what I would consider a diverse set of solutions, then you really set yourself up for failure. You probably would like to have local backups of pretty much everything that you have, and also if you're going to use cloud services, think about how those cloud services are backed up as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really like about my QNAP NAS units that I use both at home and at work is that they have a applet that's a cloud drive sync applet. So what that allows me to do is log into my OneDrive, log into my Google Drive, log into my Dropbox, and then sync it up with a directory on my NAS. So even if Dropbox were to go away or Google Drive were to go away, I have copies of that local stored locally. So, and I do the same with my email and a few other things. So you really want to be careful to not ever have anything in one spot. Sometimes we think of cloud as, well, I don't have to worry about that because it's in the cloud. But the cloud can go away just like anything else.
Yeah, and I think it was just last week or the week before that we were talking about Google Plus going away soon. I think it's in March or April. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a dead service. I mean, hardly anybody's on it anymore, so I don't think many people are going to miss it. But the thing that I think you reminded me of is that Google Photos used to be part of Google Plus. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I think I was semi-annoyed when they split Google Photos away from Google Plus for some reason. I don't remember why anymore. Probably maybe just convenience. But, you know, now I'm grateful because Google Plus is a super-duper useful service. And I'm kind of in fear of what's going to happen when, you know, Google decides to shut that down someday. I don't think they will, but, you know, who knows, right? I mean, we never thought Yahoo would be bought and sell Flickr and all those kind of things, too.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so when I think of what Google Photos gives me, it's not so much it's a storage place for my photos, although it is. It's nice to have. It's the quick search and the quick finding of old photos.
Yeah. And intelligent search.
Prior to that, they had all just lived on my network storage, and I had never really, found a good way to organize them and, you know, there are other tools, most notably Google's Picasa, that you could have used.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, but those eventually went away.
Yeah.
Although Picasa, I think, got built into basically Google Photos.
I think so, too.
Think about what Google Photos allows and what Picasa used to allow. But it's sort of an interesting world where you just have to be very vigilant about your data so that you don't have everything in one spot. And you're out of luck if that one spot goes away.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and a little tip, not so much a deletion thing, but one of the great things about Google Photos is, you know, you mentioned search, is that you can use a semantic search on it, which some people don't know about. It's a little surprising, but you can search for things like, you can use words or phrases like red sky, and it will find all the photos with a red sky, or you can say, you know, name a person. If you have told Google Photos what people look like. And after a while, it does take a little bit of training, but even children over, you know, as my daughter aged, for example, from a baby to an adult, it will find her regardless of age, because over time it will ask me things like, are these two people the same people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say yes or no. And if you say yes, now those faces associated with the same person. It's really, really remarkable.
Yeah, I've always thought that Google Photos is the software that lets you get more out of your photos. It's
absolutely.
Not, if you think of it as storage, yeah, it's storage.
Yeah.
But it's much more that it lets you enjoy photos more than just store them. So if you have Google Photos and all you've ever done with it is just let it upload and back up your photos, go play around with it. You'll be very surprised at some of the cool stuff it can do.
Yeah, and we don't have this in our show notes, but it's, you know, since it's such a fun service, once you upload enough photos, it'll do some pretty interesting things. Like it'll put together a video based on photos, like, you know, like a slideshow. It'll also take some of your videos or live photos and turn it into GIFs, so that you know, you have little mini animations. It will create albums, like, you know, your weekend and something. If you want a vacation, it'll figure that out. In fact, I found, you know, I've taken a couple of trips over the years, and I found that it'll even build me a map automatically. So it'll say, you went from, you know, you flew from here to here, and then you took these photos, and you flew from there to there, and you took these photos, and that was your week of, you know, travel. So it's pretty fun. I especially appreciate the map where it shows that you're traveling from, you know, to a relatively distant place. In Hawaii, for example, it's even done inter-island travels, which is not too far, really. A couple hundred miles. Yeah.
Very cool.
I am now down to 783 photos in Flickr, so I think my mission is done. I don't have to delete any more photos. I'm safely under 1,000. I plan to add nothing more. And I'll just leave it here. It's kind of fun to look at. I'd forgotten some of these photos. I mean, I know I have them elsewhere, just, you know, haven't looked at them in a long, long while. Oh, very fun. Very, 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 very fun. Okay, so, let's see, what else did I have to say about this? Well, you know, there's no such thing as free, right? Everything has a price. And Flickr, I just was looking at it. It says, I have been a Flickr user since 2006, and I know many people have been on it much longer than me. But I've been on it 13 years now, and it was a really great and useful service, you know, in its time, before it got absorbed into Yahoo, and even after it was absorbed by or purchased by Yahoo. So I am thankful for the service it gave me, and now I have tidied it up. by deleting, you know, 2,000 and some odd photos, and under 1,000, and the photos there, I assume, will, until they change it to you can only store 100 photos free, which I assume will happen someday. Yeah, you know, we should do a show on services that we've used that have disappeared in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, there's a lot, right, including the upcoming Windows Phone service turn-off. So even if you have a Windows Phone, you won't be able to use a lot of stuff on it because the infrastructure behind it will be shut down. What is it, this year or next? I can't remember. But it's soon, rather than later. All right, got anything else, John? Got any app picks? I don't have. I was just looking for app picks before the podcast, and I can't think of anything.
I think I'm good this week. My app picks were in my How to Get Music for Free.
So that's right.
Go check that out.
That's right.
Download your favorite songs that you've always wanted to be able to play in the middle of the night with no internet connection.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have kind of an app pick that it's kind of a work app pick more than anything else. But if you have an Office 365 Enterprise or some kind of business account, it may come with something called Microsoft Power BI, Business Intelligence. And I don't use it that often, but I just happened to need it this past week when I was looking at a whole bunch of data. And by whole bunch, I mean about over 4,000 rows. So not gigantic, but large. About 4,000 rows of data. And I was doing some analysis in Excel, and I said, boy, you know, how do you do this? And I was just doing some trend analysis over time. And I was thinking, I wonder if Microsoft Power BI can do it better. And sure enough, I imported it into Power BI. And boy, it could do things that would have taken me forever to, you know, to have the same thing done in Excel. For example, one thing, I had 14 days of time series data. So every 5 minutes, you know, data collected every 5 minutes. And what I wanted is to collapse the 14 days into a 24-hour period. So every day for that hour, I wanted to see it on a chart, right? 14 times at noon, for example, where was this data? And in Power BI, it was like two or three clicks. There are no macros, no programming, no nothing. Just here's your data, and you need to think about it a bit and click a few things, and boom, there it was with the graph that let me see what I was looking at. So I don't think it's available if you have a personal account or a family account or anything like that. But I, if you have an enterprise account, you may want to go look in your list of software that's available to you. And I was really impressed. I haven't used it in probably over a year now. And I think it's gotten easier, if anything. And I did it all through the web. I think there's an application you can download for it, but I didn't even bother to look for it. I just used the web version. Alrighty.
Good pick.
So that's my tip of the week. I should write that down. Microsoft Power BI. BI is for business intelligence. Okay, it's a short one. We just barely made 30 minutes, and I'm talking a little longer, so we hit exactly 30 minutes. There we go.
All right. Well, we're reliable.
Okay, we will talk to you next time.